Let's go. Let's get into the Bible, Ephesians chapter 5. This is the 11th message in this series. We started it back on September 3rd on being filled with the Holy Spirit. You remember? And we started off and have used Ephesians chapter 5 as our foundation for this entire series thus far. And we've been answering a lot of questions that people have regarding praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, and how it is to function in the body. That's one of the big hang-ups that people have. They have thrown out the baby with the bathwater, so to speak, because they've seen some people do some goofy things. Well, let me tell you this. I knew a man who I witnessed him stand up in front of a church, not this church, it was long before Solid Rock, stood up and confessed Jesus Christ as his Lord. He was his Lord and is his Lord. Savior, was even baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in other tongues, got on fire for the Lord, functioned in ministry for a while. Came out of a torrid past. He shared a little bit of that, and you got the picture of the kind of lifestyle he was living. You know, I mean, it doesn't take a lot of, you know, explanation for when a person's living and walking in sin. Amen? And I was driving through a small Oklahoma town one day. I had to go somewhere. I forget now where I was headed, but I was going through a little town out in the middle of nowhere. And I had a new vehicle at that time, which this man did not recognize. I know he didn't. But as a born-again, spirit-filled man, I saw him walking into a bar. Let me tell you something. I didn't say, see, I told you that salvation was no good. I told you, I've said it before, that getting saved is useless. Look at that. What was my response to that? No, I didn't jam on the brakes and go in there and jerk him out by the back of the collar. Of course, I did pray for him. And it's amazing. People think that they can do things and get away with things and nobody will ever know it. Hey, let me tell you something. Even if nobody saw what he was doing, God saw it. God saw where he was headed. God saw what he was. In fact, God, the Lord, knew exactly what he was planning the whole time. But so we don't throw out the baby with the bathwater, and you understand what I mean by that. It's not like we say, well, salvation's no good because you saw somebody abusing their salvation. You have seen people abuse spiritual giftings, and just because they have, they're not operating according to the way the Word says you're supposed to operate in it. So let's not take that position where, well, I saw somebody do this one time. I've seen a lot of goofy stuff over the years. That's why we come back to the Word. I've seen Christians step out of love. I don't stop walking in love myself because I saw somebody lose it and act like an idiot. You know what? You hear me? Well, you guys are all so holy today. I praise God for that. But it's the truth. And so we have to keep going back to the Word. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, the title of the message today is Why We Speak in Tongues. Why? Why do we speak in tongues? Well, I'm going to answer that and give you some more understanding today that I think will bless you. And some will say, well, Pastor, I already heard that. I already knew that. Well, good. I've read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation 2 how many different times, but I still go back to it because we never have it all. Amen. Ephesians 5, look at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled or be being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we said last week, we give thanks to the Lord for the things that the Lord has done. I don't thank the Lord for something that he didn't do in my life. So when it says giving thanks for all things, the little asterisk that you need to put there, and, you know, people that read the Bible have this understanding. I mean, it's just common sense, really. Would I thank the Lord for something the devil did? Would I thank the Lord for something that he didn't do in my life? Here's the mindset some people have, that God does everything. God's the author of everything, good and bad, and just praise him anyway. You know, those acts of God that they talk about on insurance policies is the biggest lie. I mean, I had when I did the insurance exam years ago and got my license, never wrote one policy, but I thought, well, I'll get the license, and I did that because I was involved in a thing that, anyway, I never wrote a policy. But in there, they had these acts of God that they talked about. And if you were going to pass the test, you know, well, I said, Lord, you know, I don't believe that that's an act of you. But in order to answer it where they would pass you, you had to write in something and check a thing. And I'm like, Lord, I don't believe this any more than I believe I'm on the moon right now. You know what I'm saying? And so act of God, that's wrong. They're not acts of God. I told the instructor after, I said, that ought to be an act of Satan, an act of the devil. He looked. You know how people are. It's so weird. The devil? You believe in a devil? Yeah, and you're the one that thinks God's doing everything. God's not doing everything. God's not the one who comes to steal, kill, destroy, tear up your families, bankrupt you, mess up your marriages and all this stuff. He's not the one. Oh, just bless him anyway. I will bless him, but I will give thanks to him for the things he's done, as the scripture indicates. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God's, is what Jesus said. So, be being filled. Present imperative tense in the Hebrew, or excuse me, in the Greek language in verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. The present imperative means be constantly being filled. On a consistent basis, be being filled. Amen. That's something that we are involved in always. As believers, we're supposed to be being filled in our lives. In other words, you don't one time reach a level and just automatically stay there. There was a time I reached a level in how far I could run and how fast I could run it with as little bit of exertion. My body fat at that time was probably 3%, 2%, you know. And it's amazing how that didn't just stay that way. You know what I'm saying? You used to be able to run a mile in, you know, maybe some of you 5 minutes. Maybe some of you less than that. I don't know. It's amazing to me when I hear about the record for a mile, like 3 minutes, 40 seconds or whatever it is. If you look at those guys or girls that can do that, their legs are like this long. And I ran a quarter mile as fast as I could one time, flat out, quarter mile. And I still would have been slower than the 3:41 or whatever. If I could have done that four times at that pace, I still wouldn't have made it. And then you watch them. What's the guy? Usain Bolt, yeah, the guy that does this. He's a believer, actually. Yeah, former. Yeah, legs like you and man, powerful, powerful gentleman. Praise God for that. But the fact is, you know, hey, we need to just do what we can do in this life to the best of our ability and let the Lord make up the difference. Amen? Thank you, Lord. How we got on the 3-minute mile, whatever that was. So, be being filled. Oh, yeah, right. You know, I used to be able to run a mile in 5 minutes or whatever, and not anymore. It didn't just stay that way. It won't just stay that way. It's the same way with your spiritual walk. You've got the Word. You're really in the Word. You're believing God. You're praying. You're doing the things that you ought to be doing just on a daily, maintaining your spiritual walk with Christ and even increasing in it. You're doing that on a day-by-day basis. And then all of a sudden you start to think, I think I'll take some time away from that. I think I'll go ahead and take some time where I'm not getting in the Word. I'm not going to do that now. I'm just going to back away from that for a while, put my Bible down for a while, and you watch and see how things begin to take a turn in the other direction. You're not being filled. You're not doing the things that you need to do to maintain. The enemy will see to it that you have plenty of opportunities to drain yourself spiritually, and then you'll come to that point where you'll think, what's happened? God, have you left me? It's called backsliding. sliding back from dedication to the Lord, sliding back from being in His presence on a day-by-day basis, sliding back from your commitment to read the Word and pray and do the things, come to church, the things that you should be doing to maintain this lifestyle, in fact, even increase it in your life. Some people think, well, that just sounds like works to me. Well, guess what? You're supposed to be working out your salvation. You're not working to be saved, but you're supposed to be diligent, busy, going about doing the things that you're supposed to do to be being filled. Can I hear an amen? So last week we talked about tongues for edification. Edification was a Greek word and is a Greek word, oikotome. It means building a house or a dwelling. And we talked about when you pray in the Spirit, you edify yourself. 1 Corinthians 14, verse number 4 says that. And you are building a dwelling. You're building the house. Psalm 127, verse number 1 reads, and if you remember this, that if a person tries to build the house, the Scripture says they labor in vain. You remember that? You need to let the Lord be involved in building your life. And praying in the Spirit is one of the ways that He has given to us. And it's such a wonderful thing because you can end up praying about things that you don't know anything about. You don't know what your future holds. How can you pray about your future? You have no idea what your future holds. Neither do I. How can I pray for something that I don't understand? Well, that's what Romans 8:26 addresses. We'll go there in a moment. Then we also looked at Jude 20. When you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. You remember that? Jude verse 20. And that is speaking about praying in the Holy Spirit. The Greek word used there means to build thereon or build upon. It's like building stories in a house. You're building the house and you start with the foundation and then you go the first floor and you go up to the ceiling and then you're going to add a second floor and you go and keep adding as you go. That's what the Lord does. He builds you up on the faith that's already been established. So that's praying in the Spirit doesn't give you more faith. It builds you up on the faith that you have. The faith comes from the Word. The prayer in the Spirit is the construction or the building of the revelation that the Word has produced. You think on that. Chew on that a little bit. When you pray in the Spirit, there's revelation that comes. And you always go back and check it against the Word. That's the fail-safe. The Word is the fail-safe. Got to have this. Got to go to this. This is where everything that you hear when you're in prayer of any kind, you go back and check it out here. Amen. So to build thereon or upon. Now, we also looked at three different types of tongues. The first one was sign tongues. That's in the book of Acts chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, and 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. Signs to an unbeliever. And in the book of Acts, they spoke in tongues and everybody heard it in their own language. So this one heard it in his language. This one heard it in her language, his language, that language over there, this language. Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia. Everybody heard them speaking the wonderful works of God. They heard it in their own language. It didn't say that the disciples were speaking those languages. It said they were speaking in tongues. This was on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. The people heard it in their own language. It was a supernatural anointing where they heard it. Sarah, what if you were fully 100% French and you're sitting here, you don't understand a lick of English, but you're hearing me in French right now. Would that not be cool? Come on, just raise your hand if you think that'd be cool. I don't use that word. Well, let's start using it. Anyway, that would be really cool. And then we have Cheryl sitting over there, and she's German. And Cheryl does not understand a bit of English. All she understands is German, and she's hearing me in German. Yeah. And then we have a Chinese brother, and we've got a brother from Africa over here, and they speak different languages, and they're hearing it in their own languages. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, the disciples were speaking in other tongues, and when it happened, people heard it in their own languages. They weren't simultaneously speaking this language and that language and this language and that language in what they were saying. they themselves were not understanding what they were saying, but people were hearing them speaking the wonderful works of God in their native tongue. Now, come on, that's pretty neat. Amen? Sign tongues. Then the second one was ministry or public tongues, and we said that was from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, and that is where there is an actual ministry in the body of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And so that happens and will happen within churches that are open to it. I think the Holy Spirit's being pushed out of churches all over this country, all over the world, and told you will not do that here. I will not take a truth in the Word of God and just tear it out of the Bible and say that's not for us today. I cannot do that. Anybody with any honesty cannot. Can I hear an amen? It's the truth. I mean, we need to take this word for what it says. Amen? Nobody says we understand all of it. Nobody does. But there are some things that we can get a grip on, function in, flow in. The riches of Christ are unsearchable. The depths of His riches, you'll never plunge the depth of it. So you're never going to get it all. He's God and we're human. So He'll always have more than we can have. But we need to get what we can get while we're here. Amen? And don't play this game where, well, I just don't know. I mean, I don't think that's for us. Don't be the one who determines whether something is for you in this life as a Christian or not. The entire Word is for you. And we need revelation on it. And we need understanding on it. We need people that can teach it that will help with that process of you understanding it. Because I think we have short-circuited the things of God so many times in our lives, and we have sold ourselves short when God was wanting to do this in our lives, and we said, no. How many times have you choked on a blessing that, you know, you look back at it and go, man, wow. I always think of my brother-in-law. He had an opportunity to buy into a McDonald's when they first started. A franchise. And it was at the time going to cost, I think it was like $4,800 or something like that. And his thought was, and he's kicking himself to this day, it'll never make it. That's a flash in the pan. What do you suppose that $4,800 would be worth today had he done it? Now, he's a blessed guy. I mean, he did financially well. He's retired now. But you know, I mean, you just stop and think about things. Opportunities present themselves, and people are like, oh, I couldn't, you know. You need to be the person like last week when I had a gift. Rosie raised her hand. Now, I'm sorry, Shandy, that she beat you to it. She really did. And if you know the testimony behind it, she was believing for one of those, and actually the exact thing. It was a supernatural deal. And Cade had lost his wallet and needed a new wallet, and he got the new wallet. How come I didn't get that? Well, because you didn't raise your hand quick enough, I guess. But then the third type of tongue is the personal private tongues. That's Jude 20. I wrote Judd 20. I can't leave that. Hey, Judd. Jude 20 and 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. Now, why do we speak in tongues? That's the personal, private side of tongues. Why do we speak in tongues? I gave you this first reason last week. It gives us the ability to bypass other people. You don't always need somebody else praying for you. You hear me? Now, there's nothing wrong with that, and the Bible tells us that you need to pray one for another, that you may be healed. You need to have other people get into agreement, the prayer of agreement, the binding and loosing, all of that. I mean, the prayer of intercession is on the behalf of somebody else. Those are valid scriptural principles, but there is a place that you can, when you pray in the Spirit, you can bypass other people altogether. What if nobody's there? What if you can't get in touch with somebody? Can you get in touch with God? Well, of course you can. And this is a way that you can pray and bypass other people. Here's the other part of it. It gives us the ability to bypass other people. And also your own understanding and your ignorance. Lack of knowledge of a situation. Turn over to Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 26. This is a really neat verse. And you need to get this one down. verse 26, Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our, and the word used here in the King James is infirmities. Well, it's literally weaknesses. Weaknesses. He gets in, takes hold with us against our weaknesses, because every one of us have weaknesses. Have you noticed that? We're weak in areas of our lives. And when it comes to bringing a prayer to pass, bringing something to pass, you and I are not capable of doing that. He helps. He gets involved with it because of our weaknesses. For we know, look at this, for we know not what we should pray for. That's ignorance, is it not? I know ignorance sounds really kind of bam, right in your face, but that's ignorance. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. The latter part of it, as we ought, is how we ought to do it. We know not what we should pray for, and we don't know how to pray. Somebody came to me one time and said, Pastor Dan, I'll just pray the word. I said, so you're telling me you don't need the Holy Spirit to do any praying through you and in you and work through you that way? No, I have the word. I said, but you're not smart enough to know what word to use on a situation that you have no wisdom over, no understanding of. He just said it there. He's not mixing words. He said, when you know not what you should pray for as you ought, for we. Paul put himself in the same boat. He said, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Do you see that? For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, the literal word is himself, not itself. Don't look at the Holy Spirit as an it. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The rest of that in Greek reads, in speech that is understood by the one speaking it. Why? Because you're ignorant of the situation. So you can't pray something you don't know anything about. You can't pray about your future when you have no idea what the future holds. This is the way you can. Get him involved. Let him. Why? God knows the beginning from the end. He knows exactly what you're going to be doing 20 years from now, Ivo. He knows exactly where you're going to be. He knows exactly what will be happening. He knows to the minute detail what you'll be doing as a family, as individuals. So why would we, why would anybody take the approach, I don't need that. I don't need that. I'll do it on my own. When you try to build your own house, you labor in vain. It's frustrating. You'll come upon a dead end. But he gives you an infinite way to pray about things you have no understanding of. Isn't that just gibberish? Glossa, write it down. It's a Greek word, glossa. G-L-O-S-S-A-H is the way you'd write it. And it means a language spoken by the person, and the person doesn't understand what they're saying. That's literally what glossa means. You see an English word there that we get from that? Glossary, right? So, glossa, a language, not naturally acquired by the person who's speaking it. In other words, supernaturally given. They're speaking it, but they don't understand it. Now, here's the other side of this thing. You don't know how to intimately apply the Word of God to your situation because you don't know all the ins and outs even of your situation. You're going through something. Now, you're supposed to bind the devil. You're supposed to take authority over him. Yes, you are. You're supposed to take the Word of God, use it. It is a sword. Cut that rat up and leave him on the ground squealing. Amen? It's probably not the best picture, but remember, it's the devil we're talking about. And so we're supposed to take the word and attack the enemy with that word. But what if you're attacking something here and there's a counterattack coming from over here and from over here and up, you that you're not aware of? People think they're doing real well when you've seen it in the movies. A guy gets in an altercation and he's hitting this guy, and the guy's hitting him back, hitting him, and then bam, someone hits him over the head with something and he's out cold. He never saw it coming. Well, it's the same way in the Spirit. When you pray in the Holy Spirit and let Him do the praying, God knows what's going on. He sees the beginning from the end. He's looking down. He's going, okay, you need this, you need this. Let me move through you. Let me pray through you. I'll give you words. Yeah, you don't understand it. The problem is you think you understand too much as it is. And we need to get past that and say, you know what? I've been in charge of my own life far too long, and I need to put Him in charge. And I'm going to let Him pray through me with these words that cannot be uttered in a speech or in a language that's understood by me, the one speaking it. Now look at verse 27. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you know Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, write this down. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. How can you pray in the Spirit? Praying in the Spirit is not praying with more volume. Praying in the Spirit does not mean praying with more intensity. If I get loud and I have great intensity, then I'm in the Spirit. That's not what that means. Praying in the Spirit means letting the Holy Spirit make intercession or speech through you, and He's chosen a method that the devil doesn't understand. The devil doesn't know what you're saying. That is the fail-safe in this thing. We have a wonderful private line with the Lord. And He's speaking His will through us as we yield ourselves to Him. Yield your tongue to Him. It's not hard to do. What gets in the way of people praying in the Spirit right here? What do I say? I've had people say to me, I don't know what to say. Well, it's a valid thing. If you're trying to figure out what you're saying, you need to let the words rise up on the inside. All I can tell you is when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the words began down here. It was like, it literally felt like somebody dumped really nice warm oil over the top of my head that night. I was in a Catholic church, and in the basement, mind you, but I was still there. They had a big prayer meeting, 200 to 300 people there in this prayer meeting, and it was a Spirit-filled Catholic community, and there were people coming from outside the Catholic community into this meeting, and people were getting filled with the Holy Spirit, and things were happening. And some of the most dignified people I saw in the Catholic church were in that meeting, and things were happening, and things were changing in their lives, and we're like, my goodness sakes, something's going on here. Well, it felt like somebody dumped warm oil over the top of my head, and he said, now just yield to the sounds that are beginning to build down on the inside of you. And you know what? I did. And I was a little nervous at first. I didn't have all the best, absolute best teaching on this when I first got filled with the Spirit. You know, they were doing the best they could, but I uttered the first sound, the words that began to come out, and all of a sudden it was like somebody went chum and opened up a floodgate or a faucet, and it started coming out. But I could stop it like that as well. I know people think this is, see, that is that craziness. That's it. No. This is the how-tos of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it all involves you yielding. You yielding. You need to learn what to yield to and what to resist. Isn't that a fair statement? In life, in every way. I'm going to give you the second point, and then we're going to wrap it. The second point. Speaking in tongues builds you up. Now, we've kind of covered that. I know that. But this is what it's about. Praying in a supernatural way, it is a supernatural means, literally, of building yourself up on the inside. It's like lifting weights in the Spirit. It's like pumping iron in the Spirit. And you're building yourself up. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Now, you can do it, or you can refuse to do it. You can yield to that, or you can refuse to yield to it. And so it's not a matter of going to heaven. If you're born again, you're going to heaven. If you don't speak in tongues, you still can go to heaven. That's not it. It's just you're not tapping into something that's available to you, that a whole chapter in 1 Corinthians 14 is dedicated. A lot of this in Romans 8 is dedicated to it. And it's not something that you should shy away from. And I know not everybody in here is filled with the Holy Spirit, and I think partially that's why the Lord had me go this direction. Because we're in a time when you need to know how to pray about things that you have no understanding of, and you need to be sensitive to it, and you need to be doing this to build yourself up. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's God's idea. It's not Pastor Dan's idea. It's not some church's idea. This is the Word of God. And it's His idea for us. And boy, if He has an idea for something like this for us, then we need to go with it. Amen. Supernatural way to build yourself up on the inside. And again, Jude 20, meaning to build thereon or to build upon the faith that you already have. Listen to this. When you begin to pray in the Spirit, you sense one thing and it'll build upon something else. I mentioned it just a little while ago about revelation. You get a revelation from the Word, you begin to pray in the Spirit, and a revelation begins to churn. And then the Lord adds to that revelation, and He builds on that revelation, and you're going, that's neat. I need to run this by somebody else and see what they hear and what they're saying, and how's the Word line up with this. And boy, I mean, if you can't find Scripture to back up what you think you're believing, then you need to put it aside. It may just be that you don't know enough Word, okay? But then again, it could be something really strange and wrong. There was a message that came out, quote, through a Spirit-filled believer years back, and it was something like this. The angels of God are lusting after blood. Now, does that not just kind of, in your spirit, man, does that not just kind of go, wait a minute, lusting after blood. I just had this picture that I don't want to think on, you know what I'm saying? And I thought, nah, it just doesn't. I mean, warring angels, that's stupid. I mean, I could see the devil lusting after blood, right? I mean, he's a bloodthirsty coward, amen. He is. He hates people. He wants to kill, steal, destroy all that he can. But this was talking about the angels of God. And I knew that wasn't right. And the person that said it just kind of faded off into the back, and you don't ever hear of that ministry anymore, and it was a flash in the pan, and they said some things they shouldn't have said. And always check it out with the Word, you know. Praise God. So tongues are to build you up. In 1 Corinthians 14, there's, just flip over there quickly, and I am not going to preach all of what I have today. We'll pick it up next week. But in 1 Corinthians 14, this is the whole chapter that's dedicated to speaking in tongues. And Paul said to follow after love and desire the things of the Spirit, the pneumatika in verse number 1. Desire spirituals or things of the Spirit, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now, if it is a tongue that doesn't have any kind of interpretation, nobody's going to understand it. Let me just say this, and I'm going to stop right here because I don't want to start into this too far because I'm not going to have, I don't want to go for another 45 minutes or something. But in Corinth, those people came in to being believers in Jesus Christ. They had heard about what took place on the day of Pentecost, and sign tongues, as in Acts chapter 2, verses 8 through 11, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26, they knew that that happened. So what was going on in the church at Corinth was that the people in Corinth thought that sign tongues was the order of the day. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke in other tongues, and then they'd get together, and there were thousands of people in the church at Corinth. It was a big, big church. And people were speaking in tongues loudly for hours at a time, thinking others are understanding. And all it was breeding was what? Confusion. He even addresses that later on in this chapter. God's not the author of confusion. So I'm going to leave it with you there for today, because the bottom line in this chapter, and I want you to read 1 Corinthians 14 between now and next Sunday and do this, because in that chapter, you're going to find the word edifying, edification. It's for the edifying of the saints. Tongues in the public assembly, if there's no interpretation, the saints are not edified. When you pray in the Spirit on your own, you are being edified. You're building up yourself on your most holy faith. Actually, the Holy Spirit's doing the building, but you're yielding your tongue. There's personal edification, then there's edification for the body. If there's no interpreter, it needs to come out as a word of prophecy, not a tongue. Now, I want you to just go and read that whole chapter with that in mind, that God wants to edify, and He wants to use not only those of us that are filled with the Holy Spirit to pray in tongues in our own lives, He wants us to be able to give things that will edify the body. When you come together, if everyone's speaking in tongues and there's no interpreter, there's confusion. Okay? And that's not the idea. There's not supposed to be confusion in the church. Amen? But let's not lump every kind of tongue into the same basket. There are diverse kinds of tongues, different kinds of tongues, or different functions of glossa. And not everyone is a sign tongue. Not everyone is a tongue that is to be spoken out loud in the assembly. Can I hear an amen? Please stand to your feet. And we'll pick it up next week on this same order, and I'll go in more depth on that. Praise God. Because some of these things just need to be talked about and understood. People have questions about things, and I understand there's been a lot of ignorance about spiritual things. And so we need to just address them and take bit by bit and get to it. Amen? Bow your head with me. Father, we thank You and praise You for this day. We thank You and give You glory for the Word of God in our hearts and our lives. Thank You for the presence of Your Spirit here today, not only in us, but among us. And we are so grateful to You, sir. We bless You. We praise You. We give You all the glory this day. And thank You for the mighty, mighty Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God. That's Hebrew for the Spirit of God. Spirit of God who dwells on the inside of us. Oh, we thank You for that, Lord. We praise You for that. We give You glory for it today in Jesus' mighty name. Can I hear an amen?